there was a Jehovah's Witness there, and he's really a nice person, and we got to be friends and talk about scriptures, and it led to the, I don't know whose idea it was, I think it was one of somebody else's in the work department, wanted us to have a debate over the noon hour, so we had that debate, mostly about the deity of Christ, and yeah, that's an adventure, and that's what I find to be really the thing that speeds my pulse in my lifetime is witnessing for the Lord, going to those places where in my own strength I'd never want to be. And so up in Canada, there were lots and lots of Jehovah's Witnesses just standing on the street selling their watchtowers, holding them up like this, and Awake magazines. And so I started going out on the street to witness to them. And they're very bold. But then the more we talked, the more I learned about the watchtower, and the more as I went in the scriptures, I saw the deity of Christ, and I saw more of, you know, God's grace to save through faith without works, and I'd share that with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then it got to the point where step on the street and a lot of them would be packing their bags and headed for home because they didn't want to talk. And I had a good friend, Wayne Westby, up there, and he started printing some of my tracks for free. And Wayne and I, went to a Jehovah's Witness convention, which they had 39,000 Jehovah's Witnesses gathered there in the arena in Vancouver. So I think it was 39,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, and it was Wayne and me. So we were witnessing there. As I recall, I think we got kicked out, but then outside we had all these tracks, we flared their cars. And mine was orange, so they came out flapping in the wind across all those windshield wipers. As far as the eye could see were my orange tracks on their Jehovah's Witness cars. They're so careful not to throw stuff on the ground, so they take those tracks and took them home with them. You know, that was an adventure. One day I was at the ICE Arena. It was another Jehovah's Witness convention, witnessing on the inside. They kicked me out. And not because I wasn't nice, it's just they're so quickly intimidated. And so I thought, Lord, what do I do now? Because I'm out here and there and there. Well, then when they turned them out, they came up the sidewalk and stopped at a light. And about every 3 minutes, the Lord gave me a new congregation. So I'd preach to that crowd, and they'd stand there like sheep. They seem like they're really bold, and that, but they aren't. They're scared. So when the light would change, they would go, and another crowd would come. It was just a great opportunity. Then other places I'd, you know, witness to the Mormons. And like the big game in Utah is University of Utah against Brigham Young University. I tried never to miss those. And so witnessing at those lots of times, you know, there's activity trying to find me and that kind of thing. But it's kind of, the Lord is pretty amazing the way he'd keep me out of trouble. But got the word out to lots and lots of those people. My friend in Hawaii, met a friend in Hawaii, Ray Santana, and he prints my tracks. He still does that. So my tracks going door to door printed by Ray. And he just wants to have a part in my ministry. And so at his print shop, you walk in the door, and there's my tracks. And lots of them are about cults and that kind of thing. Ray, have you thought about this? I mean, a lot of your customers aren't going to like this. There's lots of them, like Mormons, and lots of Jehovah's Witnesses, that kind of thing. And Hawaii, it's God's work here. He'd go and, you know, just got to get the word out. Day by day, just trust the Lord. And so... you know, what an awesome opportunity. And so different places, different opportunities like that. And just this last, I mean, it goes on and on. Just this last week, there's a Mormon deceiver online on a page trying to lead people astray. And after living in a place like that, like Utah, you learn so much, and so it's not hard. It's not hard to refute them. They talk for a little bit, and then they flee because they don't know what to say. And so his last words were, "Well, I've got this to say, and then, you know, I'm out of here." So I responded, "You're really not out of here until you answer our questions, you know, really. I mean, not ethically, but." So that speeds up the heart and makes life a lot of fun, but it's just doing what God instructs us to do, be a witness for Him. And I love it. Well, back to Psalm chapter 150 this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray, Lord, you teach us more about hearts of praise to you. And even as we're singing tonight, we love to praise you. We know you're great. Thank you, Lord, for each one here. Many can't be here. Minister to each one of them in a very powerful way. Keep those still out on the highways, safe in the late hours of the night as they travel for home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just reveal a little bit from this morning. We hear cliches, you know, after a game's winning team, losing team, they have their cliches. Christian cliches go more like, "I'm praying for you," and maybe people just say that and they don't really pray. We don't really know if they're really going to pray or not, because sometimes I think we might do that. We mean to pray and might forget. Or praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it can be spontaneous from the heart, or it can be just something we're used to saying. And so there's different ways, you know, in praise and in worship. Some go to extreme entertainment. Others are like, "Well, we've always done it this way and we're never going to change." Psalm 150 is called the news reporter's psalm because a journalist must answer what, where, who, when, why, and how. And this psalm does that regarding praise and worship. Praise is expressing approval. So it's approval, our approval we express for the Lord, and a value that we place upon the Lord. Thinking about what is worship, or what is the theme here? Worship is worth-ship, worth. We attach worth to God. So it involves our attitude and our action to God. So really our worship is not about, "Well, I really liked it," or, you know, "I really got something out of that today." But this is God-centered, and so we're thinking about God. All six verses here, praise the Lord. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. And here we find, here's the triad, the parallelism, three different statements here about praise expanding in the mighty heavens and every place. Where to praise the Lord, and that's it. You know, the Lord's sanctuary, which include, of course, church services, but it include also us as individual believers, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also into the mighty heavens. Where to praise God? Even there. Why praise God? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And so, why praise? Well, the mighty acts of God. God is our champion. And we think about the victories won through the Lord. We praise him for that. Praise him for that. So, it's the idea of worship, or the idea of bending down, bending low. We think God is so awesome. We cannot comprehend God. And so, it's the posture to say, "Look at my smallness, look at my unworthiness, but wow, look at my God," and worshiping him. So why is God praised? Well, also because we have new hearts. Man, we were spiritually dead. We had no hope without the blood of Jesus Christ. So we praise him. Jehoshaphat, he had those three armies coming against him, and they were toast. They were going to be annihilated, face to the ground, all of Judah fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And God promised that he would stand for them. Just stand. Told him, "Just stand. I'll take care of it." And God did. And the Levites stood up and praised with a loud voice to God. However, in Job's life, you know, his animals were gone, but his children were wiped out. Something to break your heart for the rest of your life. Never get over it. You just learn to live with it. But he fell down and he worshiped. Children are gone. Fell down and worshiped. Not because he's happy. But Jehoshaphat would praise God because God did it all. God is awesome. God is great. And that's what we need to understand in our worship too. Try to comprehend the fact that God is too big to understand. Just get low before God and say, "Wow, God." That's what Jehoshaphat and his people did. Job had no happiness in this. He was crushed. But he was confronted. He knew he was, in this way, confronted with such a great God who's sovereign. God is at work here. He just had to say, "Wow. Wow, God." And he worshiped God. How to praise God? We find verses 3 through 5. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him as stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. And so, if you understand here, there's basically three kinds of instruments, the wind and the string and percussion here. They'd have the trumpet, which scholars tell me it's the ram's horn. And so the blast of the trumpet, the explosive expressions of praise to God, that's how we worship. But also here, as we understand, the sweet sound of the strings are involved. And in verse 4, the tambourine. You know, the jubilant expression of the tambourines, which they pulled out in Exodus chapter 15 with the crossing of the Red Sea. Just jubilant. Jubilant. Look what God has done. And so worship is not to feed our flesh. It's not dancing close to be stimulated or watching people gyrate around, but they dress differently back there. They dance differently back there. It's totally different. The key, of course, being our honor to the Lord. It's more like ring around the rosy, twist and twirl, entire body, but the entire body being involved. And so we just get so taken up with God, we could dance for joy, which is what they were doing. So how to praise God? Praise him with the stringed instruments, the organs. Has the idea of the flutes and like the violin or the cello, the strings. Verse 5, praise him with the loud cymbals, praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. So here's the Israelites that kicks up the volumes and got pull the cymbals out. They did this at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Don't think they did it in all their worship services, but something great and awesome like this. And outside, all these people, just a giant number of people praising the Lord together there. So it's the crescendo of praise. And we understand God knows about the tiniest grain of sand on the beach. God knows about the tiniest seed. God knows the smallest flower and smallest insect, furthest star. Do we feel insignificant before God? God created you. God knows you too. And God has not forgotten you, has not forgotten me. So we find here that, you know, every kind of instrument. Some are solemn, some are happy as they're used. Percussion of harmonies here. And so the invitation is here, pick up your instrument and join in. Join in with the bands of heaven. So that's our invitation here. And also how we breathe, playing the trumpet, the ram's horn, the wind instruments here. How we move, the fingers to strike the strings, the whole hand to beat the timbrel, our feet moving, our body moving. I mean, it's all an expression of praise to the Lord. And then however, you know, we have for talents, whatever God has given for you, the skills, the talents, the abilities, man, just don't hide out with that. Use that for the Lord and give him credit. And so here the Christians join in with the heavenly band because we are taking praise seriously. Doesn't mean we're like, man, we're good at this. No, it just means we're good at praising God. That's what we're really good at. We want to use everything we have to praise God. So here's the believers with enthusiasm. It's the idea of singing and shouting and praising. Put our whole being into it. Who is to praise? Verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. whoever's got breath, that's who. Praise the Lord. In Psalm chapter 148, praise him all ye angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you stars of light. So we find angels praising God, planets and stars praising God, animals praising God, plants bringing praise to God, even storms praise him. So there's a way here in which non-living objects in some way are included in the choir of all choirs. You can see that if you Google this on the internet, Louis Giglio, and he brings in the scientists on this, and scientists with the great telescopes beam those and pull in sounds also from outer space, and so they look to these far stars, and then he plays that there on YouTube so you can hear what's going on and on. Like that's the sound of one star, another sound. So different stars, different sounds. Those are the tunes of outer space. He's got that recorded. And that's really interesting. Then he goes to the whales of the sea. And you know how the whales are. He brings in the whales. Listen to that. So then with a smile on his face, he plays the stars and the whales together. They're starting to sound a little bit like an orchestra. And pretty soon, with this great host of people before him, put words on the screen. Now, he's got the words in sync with the stars and with the whales, and they start to sing. And so, what an awesome thing. You got the sounds like an orchestra of outer space and the animals in the sea and the voices of us as people singing together. Let all creation praise the Lord. So it's not only for the, you know, song leaders and bands and choirs, priests and Levites, congregations. It's for all people, old and young, included in the choirs of creation. So it begins here, Psalm 150, and it ends with the command to praise the Lord. As in Ephesians chapter 5, 18 through 20, we find there's a wide variety of music. Well, we like our kind of music. There's a wide variety. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a variety. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we have the freedom for Southern gospel or, you know, country Western style of praise to the Lord, high church, college orchestra. What's your favorite? What's your choice? God's variety and freedom here, not just one way to worship, one style that's acceptable. Maybe the challenge for us sometimes is, you know, whether we can grant the grace to someone else who's doing it differently. I don't think all kinds of styles, don't get me wrong, I don't think all kinds of styles that comes from the ghetto and that kind of thing, just put some kind, and, you know, the band is so loud you can't hear voices anyway. I don't know. I find it hard, really hard, really hard to find God in all of that. I don't know that God is pleased with all of that, but God is looking at their hearts. God desires a lifestyle, really, of spontaneous praise to God. That's what he's looking for. I don't have to worry so much about them. I got to think about myself. What's God looking for in me? Spontaneous praise. And so you go through the Psalms, and then you come to 150, the grand finale here. Shout God's praises, which is never just a cliche, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing passive about that. It's not just watching, listening, it's getting into it yourself. So it's easy to think, you know, you got this Old Testament style worship with their tambourines and going around circles and things like that. Maybe we don't feel real comfortable with that. Or we might think about Jesus and we think, you know, Jesus only serious, but Jesus was in on that worship, the worship times too. One pastor, a very great pastor, admire him, he's with the Lord now. Very fine, great heart. One time he preached, and he said Jesus never laughed. And he had kind of a look on his face like, don't you challenge me with this either. He knew, Jesus never laughed. Well, I was the leader of the youth and his associate, so right away, the youth are after me, which put me on the spot. Jesus never, I don't believe that, never did believe that. I want to be loyal to the pastor, I was. So I was walking a fine line there, him hawing, saying a little about none of that as I ever. But I believe Jesus laughed. I believe Jesus then on that worship time too, don't you? I mean, why wouldn't he be? And so, you know, we see there's no exceptions here. Let us be praising the Lord and use your voice in everything. Praise the Lord. Don't wait for Sunday. Don't wait for Sunday, but celebrate him. And throughout the firmament, it's always going on. Praise him and celebrate him everywhere. And we think of, you know, what a day it will be when the men and women, boys and girls, and all of us, we're all in unison, glorifying God together, hallelujah, oh, with the angels, and ha, like a sea of faces, all the redeemed up in glory, choirs of heaven, in unison, bringing glory to God. Wonderful day. It only happens if there's a day in our lives where we've come to know Jesus Christ personally, and so we can be there. Lastly, when is God to be praised? Well, God is always to be praised. I love these verses. Psalm 35:28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Isn't that good? Psalm 55:17. Think about this often. It's a reminder to me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 71:6, latter part. My praise shall be continually of thee. Continually of thee. Psalm 119:164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. No wonder David's a man after God's own heart. Psalm 146:2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. All the time when I'm alive, I'll never want to stop praising the Lord. So it's always the right time to be praising God in private, praising God in public, praising God in victories, praising God through our defeats of life, always praising the Lord. So the Bible shows us, you know, many ways to praise the Lord. Psalm 51:15, we are to praise with our lips. Matthew 5:16, we are to bring God praise as lights unto him. Philippians 1:11, we are to praise in righteousness. Seeking God, amen. Praise and righteousness. That's a good way to finish. And amen, praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your greatness, Lord, in our spirits. We're just low because we're in awe of how great you are. As we praise you and continue praising you here together tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for our musicians who lift their voices, congregation, singing their praises, the instrument, helping it all to happen in this inspiration here at Fairhaven tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.